Gary, just a yes or no answer.
Yes.
Do you believe in reincarnation?
Oh, yes.
Cool, because if it's real, I want to come back and be Anthony Edwards in my next life.
Hey, you're onto something there.
Welcome to the L. Duncan Show. Ooh, I need to clarify because of my old age, I do not mean the one from ER. I know that this is a sports show-ish, and sometimes we've got people who don't necessarily know some of the biggest names in the NBA just off top. So I do want to be clear. I don't mean the actor famed from Emergency ER
So wait,
or
time
from
out.
Revenge of the Nerds. Yeah.
I think that we have just happened upon the exact line of delineation between the age in which you're supposed to know Anthony Edwards, the actor, to Anthony Edwards, the basketball player, because as a 37-year-old dude, I thought that Anthony Edwards was the basketball player, son of Michael Jordan. I didn't know there was another one.
What? You don't know this whole Anthony Edwards from ER thing?
No, but let me Google it. Hold on.
What? Yeah. No, he
Hold
was in
on.
Top Gun. He was Goose, and he was in his real name is Anthony Edwards. He's an actor from the 80s and 90s. Yeah, he was like Dr. Green on ER, Revenge of the Nerds. You never saw Top Gun, the original one?
I've seen Top
Goose?
Gun, but
Okay,
hold on.
Goose, the main guy, the guy that dies, his best friend, the guy that sets off the trajectory
Wait.
of the second one and all of it.
Yeah, his name is Goose. His name ain't Anthony Edwards.
That's his actual name.
Hold on. I just put him in. I put Anthony Edwards, and you know how Google's autofilling out Anthony Edwards, and it pulled up Anthony Edwards, son of Michael Jordan, allegedly, not Anthony Edwards, the actor. So I think in the pecking order of things, Anthony Edwards has jumped Anthony Edwards
He
as the
has.
most prolific Anthony Edwards. So boom, 37. Didn't know who that was.
Yeah, there we go. We learn something new every day. You're right, though. He definitely, when he first came onto the sort of national purview, if you will.
Yeah.
There was a lot of ER jokes. There certainly were. Again, from us old heads, that's fine. Apparently not from you at all. He has surpassed old Anthony Edwards, who, of course,
Okay.
did peek at Dr. Green on ER. A lovely man, I'm sure. This real Anthony Edwards, the actor, of course.
Sure.
Anthony Edwards, the basketball player, is the one that I want to be in my next life, not just because he's so talented, not just because he's a walking bucket, not just because he's so energetic and interesting and fun. He's just so authentically himself at his age. And I love
Yes.
that about him. He's just so real and great. And of course, I'm getting at all this because the Timberwolves pull out the brooms and sweep, sweep, sweep the Suns. A lot of big moments in the NBA this weekend, if you will. A lot of looking ahead to see what potential matchups we could get based on how these things are trending. But the T-Wolves and the Suns, man. I mean, let's start with the winner in this one, Gare Bear. And of course, that being Anthony Edwards, who very endearingly told Karl Anthony Towns that if he did one thing, that they could finally get over the top. What was that thing?
Man, stop effing fouling. I mean, you know, our great crew could certainly bleep that out, but I just feel like not dropping the F-bomb if I don't have to. Stop effing fouling.
Yeah. Yeah. They could also just drop the sound itself. Bam.
That's true.
Me again.
Let me just say, tonight he wasn't in foul trouble. Like, the first three games, the motherfucker just kept fouling. And tonight, I told him, what did I tell you last game?
He said, yo, we can you find a way not to foul him? I said, I'm going to try
like
my
every,
best.
If you watch the game, every time in the third quarter when we would grow a lead, it's because he's in the game. Because they don't have a matchup for him. I'm like, Cat, we're not going to win game four if you foul. I told him yesterday, we're not going to win game four if you keep fouling. You keep fouling. And you see what he did in the third quarter. You see what he did in the fourth quarter. Like, he's like I always tell you, he's the best offensive player on the team. Like, if he's not in foul trouble, it's a problem for any team that got a guard is because he can stretch the floor, he can post, he can play off the catch, he can pass. I mean, like, he can do everything. So we just got to keep him from getting in foul trouble, man. He's going to be great every night.
Probably because I was trying to play more defense.
I mean, just stop fouling.
Yeah.
There he is. Stop effing fouling. And the
that
Suns
works.
Fall at the hands of the T-Wolves, who were kind of in this position last year in terms of, like, I think the only question marks for the Timberwolves coming into this, because right now they look fire. They look hot, right? They look like maybe awesome. The only team in the West that's going to really be able to contend with the Nuggets, who are also in Fuego.
They look awesome.
And I think last year, maybe the benefit of the doubt, and we talked about this earlier on the show, people didn't really know how to handicap the Timberwolves when it came to this postseason race because of how things went last year and because they're still a young team. But they look good, unafraid, not scared. And in their prowess, if you will, this weekend, they may have ended the Phoenix Suns dynasty before it ever actually happened. Major Wolf.
I was never hardcore about this big three. We talked about it last week, how sort of the big three, I think, died a decade ago, right? It's a big two. It's a big two and a half. The most impressive thing to me with Anthony Edwards is he has become such like a mature level setter at 22 years young with the Timberwolves team that has pretty much all been together for bits and pieces of it for the majority of this last, what, half decade? Half dozen years or whatnot, Karl Anthony Towns sort of being the cornerstone player with that franchise. And Anthony Edwards has brought such a level setting demeanor to a Karl Anthony Towns guy who, he was the face of the franchise, but now he doesn't have to be. He can go play down low. He can go shoot the three ball. He can play a little bit more freely. And we're seeing that as evidenced by the way the Timberwolves keep smashing players. They are scoring points. You know, at a playoff historic clip, they're in the 120s damn near every single game. You know, they won game four against the Suns, 122-116. This is an exciting team, and it's still very early, but I'm actually scared for the Nuggets if this is a collision course for the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah. I mean, this team is so good that they did a okie doke on the sale of this team. Don't you remember when Rodriguez was running around like, I will be the next owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves? Everyone was like, interesting. Okay, Minnesota, don't know your ties there. But that's cool. I get it. They're up and coming. They're so good. Glenn Taylor, the owner that was supposed to be selling them, was like,
Never mind. The
owner of, you know what? Today is opposite day. I'm not doing this. I'm actually not going to sell this team. I have no idea what actually happened. I just know that he was like, I think he was watching this postseason run and he's like, why would I bail on this team?
Yeah,
right, like, when they get really good. Like, this could be a really good team for many years to come.
Pretty good money-making opportunity here, guys. The more we win, the more I win. Wait a minute. I don't think many of us have to go to business school and have our MBAs to know that you don't sell a winner. Okay. You don't sell a commodity. You sell liabilities if you have to dump. All right. But this thing, and again, Anthony Edwards, 22 years young, he can be the freaking face of the NBA for the next 12 years. Alongside, you know, the Victor Wembanyamas of the world, because he's a walking soundbite. Everything right now is up Minnesota. And I did mention a couple of weeks ago, right before the playoffs started, that so many people, this is not me taking any sort of position, but we're on the same shows on SportsCenter, and we're talking to the same NBA analysts who are saying that this series was about as good as a coin flip because of the big three that Phoenix has. They didn't get a damn win in the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know what it was? It was one of those situations. It's like, sometimes when you already know what is, you're much more obsessed with fantasizing about what could be. And the Suns, because of injuries or for whatever other reasons, really didn't play together. The big three didn't play together that much. And when they did play together, especially towards the end of the season, we saw these glimpses, right? It was like, oh, they went on a little run where they beat like three or four playoff teams in a row and their defense was improving. And Frank Vogel was telling us like, oh, just you wait. You haven't even seen this team. They're not cohesive yet. They haven't built up chemistry yet. Just wait, just wait. It was a lot of like kicking the can down the road with this team, right? Like, just wait till KD gets a full season with him. Wait till this, wait till that. The truth of the matter is, the thing that hurt them and that ended up, you know, ending their season is the same issues that they came into the season with, right? Which is, A, they don't have a point guard.
Yes, that's like probably a bit of an issue.
They don't have a point guard, and they really expected that Bradley Beal, you know, when they gave up Chris Paul, they expected that Bradley Beal would be able to come in, sort of serve as that point guard. He did it in Washington, and I think they felt like he would be acclimated quicker. Injuries kept him out of some games. I think he only played in the 50s in terms of games. So I definitely think that, you know, was an issue. They didn't have a big guy. They didn't have a true center. Like correct. Some of these same things that we earmarked as issues ahead of time, we just gave them the benefit of the doubt because we're like, you've got two volume, you know, scores. You've got KD. He can do it all. He can play defense. He can do this. That. We just kept giving them the benefit of the doubt that they would figure it out. And they never figured it out. And on top of that, when you think about how much money they're already owed, this is the third largest payroll in the league this season, okay? But then you think about, like, what is still ahead for them, and it's unbelievable. They're going to have to pay about $260 million if you take into the luxury tax issues and stuff like that that they'll face. They're going to pay about $260 million this coming up season. Like, that's just for them. Inconceivable, especially for a team that just keeps getting worse. And like, at some point, you know, you were able to blame Monty last year. You know, they go from the Western Conference Finals, like our producers so astutely sort of put a timeline in, right? Like, you go back to the finals in 2021, they're up 2-0 over the Bucks. We all know what happens then, right? The Bucks ended up winning that. They trade all their depth and all their future draft picks for Durant. They fire Monty Williams, who led them to the finals, because they said that the locker room had lost him. Like, he wasn't a locker room guy anymore. He wasn't eliciting confidence in the locker room, in the front office, and they wanted to kill him. And honestly, when you sort of see what happened in Detroit this year, you're like, eh, I could see it. Detroit had their worst season that they've ever had on record. And then they kill all trade value for DeAndre Ayton by very publicly sort of talking about, like, you know, his inadequacies and not being a team guy. And they get him for pennies on the dollar for him. Then they trade away CP3. It's just like a series of calamities, one after another. And now, like, literally with the body still warm, an article comes out in The Athletic that's like, Frank Vogel has lost this team. I mean, just as if they
were
waiting on someone to throw under the bus and scapegoat. And essentially it's saying all of the things that got Monty Williams fired, Gary, which is that the team doesn't trust him. It sort of starts to highlight some of these different quotes that you're hearing from the team, some reports from inside the team that when Frank Vogel got like pissed at them at the end of the regular season, when they were losing to the Clippers by like 30 points at halftime, not only did they like not think he was being genuine, they tried to hold back laughing because he was so angry about their performance. I mean, and so now here we sit with questions swirling 1 year in if Frank Vogel should be fired and they should blow this whole thing up. If you're Matt Ishbia, you're like, I am in the ish. Bia, Bia!
Put him up, put him up. Yo, first of all, Matt Ishbia is going to have no problem playing this luxury tax because he is, you know, he is this mortgage kingpin. And rates, they ain't going down. They ain't getting lower. All right, this guy, matter of fact, he's like, oh, 260, that's it? 260, that's it? Oh, okay.
That's my running around money.
Yeah, okay, I thought this was going to be like an issue for us. Hold on, Jackson, our Hooped in the comments here. The Suns were a minus 51 when Booker, Durant, and Beal shared the floor. That is the worst plus minus for any trio this season, which leads me to my next question, L. Do you believe on paying players or just paying people based off of past performance? Because it's the only way really in any industry people can get their value, put a price tag on what their services are worth. But when you see it with the KDs and the Beals in this situation, I mean, Bradley Beal is owed $160 million over the next 3 years. Who's gonna want to take on that contract? And now the Suns, they're the ones who are going to have to eat it.
First of all, when it comes to the paying for services already rendered, I think that's really important. Yes, it is. Like, you get paid based on what you've already done, right? The problem is that the Suns have really punctuated the point that it can't just be any big three. It can't be any big three. You can't just go say, who are the best three biggest names available right now? And let's just collect them. You still need all of those other pieces, right? Mm-hmm. All of those pieces are instrumental in a win. And when you look at the other successful big threes, they've all done different things. I think that the Suns situation has just proved that, like, if you are trying to sort of assemble a team by just collecting volume scores and not thinking about defensively your liabilities or your lapses, any bench, any depth, like, all of those things are important, right? And the Suns really had none. All they had was those three. Devin Booker has an uncharacteristically sort of bad postseason. KD still played outside of himself. You know, Bradley Beal was fine. But, like, if you can't get transcendental performances from all three of your guys with all of the weaknesses that you have, this is what's going to happen. So they're not even close. I mean, getting swept in the first round for a team 2 years ago, 3 years ago that was in the finals, they're just getting worse and worse. They're going to have to blow this thing up. I know they don't want to, but they're going to have to. I know. And the question is, Gary, that I'll pose to you is, if you're going to blow this thing up, who should you try and build this team around? Devin Booker? Kevin Durant, which would be a much more got to win now situation because Correct. Kevin's, of course, older than Devin Booker. I don't think I'm not even going to throw out Bradley Beal because I can't honestly think he'll take that bait. So which one are you trying to build around?
It's the only answer is Devin Booker. You signed him to the max. He's your homegrown talent. He's been in the Valley the entirety of his career. You might be able to get some trade value for Kevin Durant, and then you might get a sucker to take on the Bradley Beal deal. But I mean, I think that goes without saying. I don't know. Right before we started this, and I don't know if it was legit, because I only read a headline, but it was something about Stephen A. saying that Devin Booker wants to go to New York. So he's going to force his way out of New York. I don't know, L. I can't. It's too many moving chairs. It's too many moving pieces. And that's why I'm just going to focus on the teams that are still in it, like the Nuggets, who are knocking on the door of knocking out the Lakers.
They are. Wait, by the way, really quick before we get to the Lakers and Nuggets, I just have to ask you, have you ever said something with your chest to this level and been so wrong?
I've never been swept a day in my life, so I'll be damned if that happens.
Have you ever been so assured that you said something with your whole chest and back and been that wrong?
No, Ellen, I'm so thankful and I can confidently say that, because I don't go through my life. I don't know how you go through your everyday life, but I don't go through my life with like this exuberant bravado. I go through it even keel, so that way when something awesome happens, I'm like, huh, that was a nice surprise. Or when something bad happens, I'm like, should have expected it.
I like that, having no expectation at all. That's good. Yeah, that's good. I mean, the same could have been said for the series with the Lakers and the Nuggets, like you just mentioned, because I think that like the moral victory here is that at the very least, I think I saw a tweet that had me dying laughing over the weekend. It said something like, you know, last year, Lakers get swept by the Nuggets, right? This year, the Lakers will get beat by the Nuggets in five. At this rate, by 2030, maybe they'll beat the Nuggets.
They're going to pull out a series. Hey, it's all about the long con. You know what I'm saying? They're going to have a fresh James on the roster at that point. Bronny, maybe Bryce Maximus at that point. You know what I'm saying? LeBron, sixth man off the bench. This is just a long con. This is the long play. And I see that. I feel that. But the Lakers are going home tonight.
Yeah. Is this where we're at, where we're like, you know what? Good for LeBron. Not going to get swept. I'm telling you, I ain't getting swept for a second straight year. I'm going to pose the same question to you that I saw Stephen A. A lot of Stephen A mentions on the show today. He said that for KD, for LeBron, and I believe for Steph, no more championships. That's it for them. We've watched them all get their last title. Do you agree?
Yes. But if you peel it back a little bit, it depends on where they maneuver and manufacture themselves and what positions they find themselves into these, you know, last handful of years in their twilights, right? Because, I mean, we're talking about the next powerhouses in the league. The Lakers are up against one right now, Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets. I think the way that the Timberwolves are presently constructed, they're going to be lifting a Larry O in the next handful of years, right? So, yeah, Steph with the Warriors now, done. LeBron with the Lakers now, done. I think KD might be the one who finds himself in his next championship, because we know, man, he's nomadic. He'll go where the getting's good.
Sure will. He's gonna sniff out a ring.
I got plenty of jackets. I'll go to Minnesota. You know what I'm saying? I've always liked the Great North. Let me take myself to Minnesota.
Teams are still doing that now? Like, you know, we joke about him joining a Warriors team that was already a champion. Do you think that KD is at the place, because it hasn't worked in the last couple of spots he's had, True. You know, Phoenix and Brooklyn. You think that he's still at a place where a GM gets a call from his people and are interested? You know, if the Nuggets got a call like, hey, KD would love to pair up with Nikola. Are you like entertaining that? Or are you saying we already won without you? Maybe he goes back to OKC. I see you, Jackson.
Hey, full circle. the veteran presence for one of the youngest teams in the league. I can't see that. Denver, no.
Wow.
Michael Porter Jr., max extension. I like the Oklahoma City thing.
Right? That's true. Chet did the ad for his new shoes. He's wearing
breaking news on the L. Duncan show.
But here's the thing, though. You're going to have to give Phoenix something. Like, how many years is Kevin Durant under, right? So, if you're Phoenix, you're going to be like, oh, for Kevin Durant, we want SGA. Or we want Chet. You give us Chet, we'll give you Kevin Durant.
Nah, they can make some. They could swindle something. They can put something. They can put something together. Listen, we're talking absolute fantasy land. Back to reality. Lakers done. Championship run for those big three done. Man, it's just like us seeing like these Gen Zs come up with jobs and graduating college and whatnot. And you're like, damn, the future's already here. Let me just have this for another couple of years. Give me this. Like, I always get the DML, and you probably get this at double, triple the clip, but it's the DM and the Instagram. It's like, hey, big fan of you. Reaching out because, you know, I watch you every day, and I'm just wondering, like, what can I do to get to where you're at, to have your job one day? Yeah. And I'm like, damn, they really headhunting. They're really disguising this headhunting as like adoration. You know what I mean?
But that, you know what? I think it's great fuel. It's the same way as, like, you know, think about the team mentality when you are on a team and they bring in your eventual replacement or they bring a young person in. I think for the vet, it's good too. It keeps you on your toes, keeps you fresh legs.
It keeps you young.
It also makes it forces you to recognize and remember the idea that in the same way you were someone that looked up and were inspired by somebody and wanted their job, same thing. And so, you know, your job as the young person, as the Gen Zers, your job is to come and take my job. And my job is to make sure that I can stave you for as long as possible. You don't think that there was Tom Brady's backups in the locker room being like, I'm coming for you, Tommy. And he kept them at bay until he was 45 years old. Like, our job is to be the ones to say, like, I respect your moxie. And, like, I love that iron sharpens iron. The better you are, the better it forces me to be. But nah, bro, sit down. You gonna get traded before you take my
Cause hold on, L, you really just blew past me saying that people were in the DMs like, L, please take me under your wing. I know you get those DMs, L. How do you handle them? I hop on
all the time
everybody's podcast to tell them, and I'm just like, listen, man, there's so many different avenues that you can take in this industry to get to where an L Duncan is, or if you want to get to a sports center, there are way more avenues that are available now than were when, you know, we were coming up in this business. Like, they got every social media app. When I was in college, literally it was an assignment. I remember when I was a sophomore in college, it was an assignment because Twitter just started. So like, one of our TV professors was like, this new app just came out and you'll get X amount of points if you start a Twitter account. And we're like, this ain't gonna last. What is this? What is this stupid bird?
What is this crap?
Yeah,
this is just gonna be MySpace.
This has no staying power.
Yeah, I wasn't even allowed to have a Facebook because I had left school. Remember? And at the time you had to have a college email to have Facebook.
Yeah.
So I used to have to like have my friends and I would like make alternate profiles. I was a dropout. So it wasn't until they let some of those loose that I was able to even be on Facebook. But yeah, no, I get hit with those all the time. I meet with people all the time. I meet with kids. I meet with PAs, CPs. Like, it's important, you know? I didn't have the ability, maybe it's because I didn't have the balls or because I just didn't have the contacts to be able to reach out to people that I admired or that were doing something that I wanted to do and pick their brain. So I try to be as available as I can. I'm always in that little Starbucks at ESPN meeting with somebody, some youngster at the company.
Oh, that's good.
But it's also because, you know, I mean, I work at that place. I'm interested too to see like who are the next up and like what are their ideas and are they interested? Fresh perspective is important too. You know, we always want to, as sort of the veterans, hoard what we have, but we do need to welcome new ideas and, you know, new like forms of creativity. And I think that it's just a tale of old as time, right? Sort of that like idea that young people disrespect the older generation, older people disrespect the younger generation. I just don't see that at all. I think we're all really valuable to each other. So I do try my best to, I do try my best to talk to them as much as possible while understanding. And, you know, once you've been doing this for 20 years, right? Like when you're meeting someone that's like fresh out of college, they almost never have as much experience as you. So I've rarely ever looked at a tape and gone, oh no, I'm in trouble. Like, you know, mostly it's like, all right, I see a lot of potential here. Let's work on it. Like, let's get you there. Let's get you better, you know, because, well, for me personally, you know, it benefits us all to have like really good, solid talent that are coming up. I want to work in a place that has all the best people at it. So
that's really funny. And that actually sort of reopened, a conversation we've had about holding grudges. And the one grudge I can confidently say that I've held for a very long time, L. Being from Denver, I reached out to every single sports director and news director at the time of me being in college, graduating, having my first job, because I wanted to work in Denver so freaking bad. And nobody gave me an opportunity. And I remember the news director at Channel 7, I'll leave his name out of it. He brought me into an audition. They had their weekend sports anchor at the ABC 7 affiliate available. And he brought me into an audition. And I was like 6 months at my first job in Wyoming. And I did my air check. And of course, it wasn't as good as I wanted it to be. I was nervous. I was in Denver. I was like, oh my God, this will be a dream job for me. And then he sat me down and was like, so why do you think you should be here? Why do you think you deserve this job? But he didn't ask it to me as like, you know, really inquisitive. He was like saying it to me like so condescendingly, and I never forgot it. So I emailed him when I got to ESPN and I told him I'm writing a book and I wanted him to explain why he treated me that way. And I have his answer.
What
and
did
I have
he say?
His answer. Actually, I have it somewhere in my email. I will pull it up. But of course, it was like, oh, that was such a long time ago, but I knew you had some potential. I didn't think that it was probably the right fit. You needed a little bit more seasoning, something along those lines. He kept it very generic, very news directory, very much like, oh, this is going in a book one day. Oh, yeah. This is going to be in print. Yeah, let me tread lightly. But yeah, so every time, you know, the sports anchors and figures in Denver, like we now follow each other on social media, and there's still this chip on my shoulder every single time I'm back in Denver covering something, or I'm in Colorado or talking about Colorado. I always just have like this not good enough mentality every time I come across one of those people.
Oh, you need to talk to a therapist about that. That's some healing. No. Let me tell you, I fully am convinced, and it could be a positive, that if Tom Brady had been in therapy many years ago, maybe he would have stopped at 3 or 4 rings. I'm convinced that when you are motivated, I used to be the same way. I was very much motivated by the people who doubted me. Yeah. I had a boss when he was laying me off, literally look me in the face and tell me, you're not a star. I was like, oh. I never said I was. Why are you being so mean?
Yeah, wait, what the hell?
Yeah. No, he did. He told me that. And that was fine because, you know, you get your satisfaction ultimately in the end when you go on to have your dreams. But I think legitimately, I realized for many years I was motivated by people like that. The kids that laughed at me when I said I was going to be on TV when I grew up and stuff like that. And I realized that while that is a fun source of motivation at first, it's not sustainable, because the truth is, whenever you give real estate in your mind to the people that did not see it, you are taking away from the people that did. Because while there might have been a bunch of sports dudes in Colorado who disrespected you and didn't see it, somebody saw it, Gary, because somebody gave you a chance, right? Like, somebody gave me a chance at my first internship job. Somebody gave me a chance at the radio station. So for all those people that didn't see it or disrespected me or said no, and there were a million of them so many times, I still remember their names and their faces. There was always someone that did see it, that did pour into me, that did believe me, that did give me an opportunity. And those are the people that I choose to give more credit to than the ones that didn't see it at all, right? Because 100%. Someone thought, yeah.
Isn't it crazy how subjective this business is, though? One person could think this person, the best thing to ever come into broadcast. And the next person is like, why'd you decide this? You know, why'd you decide this field?
Totally. I mean, you can look at our Twitter timelines and it will take you through the roller coaster of, I mean, it will literally be like, you are the greatest sports center anchor I've ever seen. And then the next tweet will be like, this is why I don't watch ESPN.
Correct.
Because it's filled with people like you.
Correct.
And then the next one is like, you're dressed like a slut. And then the next one is like, you dress like a grandma. I mean, it's just whatever people want to believe and
it's
see.
Really nuts.
And it's crazy. And I think that, you know, ultimately you can't control that. But I will say this, and I feel this 100%. I'm never, ever coming for anybody's job. I'm never looking for anyone to get fired. However, I think it would be safe to say that whoever is responsible for making sure that the Denver Nuggets shoes show up on time is probably not working there anymore. Did you see this story? Did you see the video from warmups of the Nuggets? Listen, the Lakers won and that's cool. And like they won by 11 points. So like whatevs, but also the Denver Nuggets were in warmups wearing slides because they didn't have any tennis shoes.
Listen, man, it's just like Red Auerbach used to cut the air conditioning off at the old Boston Garden, or he used to turn the hot water off. This was all, I'm claiming espionage, okay, from the LA Lakers. I'm saying somebody got caught in traffic. This was intentional, okay?
Yeah.
They cut off the AC. This was one of those things, all right? And it obviously came back to bite the Nuggets in the butt, but tonight, game five, they exact their revenge.
Is that what you think? So you think that game five, Monday night when we're taping this, it's about 12:30 Eastern time. You're saying that this is going to be wrapped up tonight.
It's a wrap. I am actually shocked that the Lakers were able to get one, to get game four back in LA, just the way that they were playing. And I guess a lot of people weren't, because, you know, they would go into halftime through the first three games in this series with a lead. They were having double digit leads into the third quarter, every single game. I mean, so I guess it was on track. They were on pace to get a game, but I am surprised that it wasn't a sweep.
Well, you say that series is going to wrap up tonight. We know definitively it is a wrap on an incredible, incredible career. On the other side of the L. Duncan Show, we'll get you a few things that you may have missed if you were in the NBA rabbit hole. That's on the other side.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8. SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, you know, we would just absolutely be tickled pink if you would not only find us every Monday and Thursday, as we've got new episodes drop every Monday and Thursday on YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts, but also if you would like rate it, review it, subscribe to it, tell somebody about it, do that little convenient like Twitter link thing where it's like, do you want to tell people and share? Say, yes, I want to share. Because we love doing the show and we love when you listen. And we love when we get a payoff, Garrett Barry.
That's what I'm saying. We just mentioned
this email from a news director, and you found the email. Now, you asked the news director, you said to him, you were rude and condescending to me. I'm writing a book and I want to know why you were rude to me. And his response was?
No. That's not how I framed it. Of course, you know, I had to be delicate around this.
Sure.
And the first line of my book is, and I only got to the first line, but one thing you have to know about me is I've never lost a fight. Boom. Let's get into broadcast stuff. This email is quite lengthy, but I'm going to just read you the last two sentences, Elle, and I want you to infer what he was implying. Ready? I was really curious about whether he'd be a match for our team. In the end, I felt like he needed more experience and time, more opportunity to make mistakes and develop. Okay, all good, well, and fine. That is a fair assessment of a dude who's still wet behind the ears. Here's where it probably sounds like an innocent sentence, but this one kind of hurts. I don't remember a single word of our conversation, but I have not forgotten him over the years and not a bit surprised with his success. So that I don't remember a single word of our conversation.
He called you not memorable, bruh. Oh, no.
I know. So like, look, everybody's laughing. Everybody's laughing in the car. Jackson's laughing. Sarah's laughing.
He literally is like, I don't even remember meeting this dude,
which is crazy.
He's like, but tell him that I thought he was lovely and crazy rich Asians.
Again, he was great. I'm not Awkwafina. Okay. Henry Golding, maybe not Awkwafina. So yeah, like the whole, that was like a subliminal thought going into the official response. I don't remember a single word of our conversation.
Oh, wow.
But I have not forgotten him over the years.
That's cap.
What's it gonna be?
That's cap.
Someone
went to him and goes, do you remember that dude, Gary? Do you remember that one dude that came in here and auditioned and then afterwards you said he was a clown? That dude's on ESPN. Do you remember that guy? And then he was like, I do remember that guy, but I don't remember a single second of what this man said.
That's crazy. I should not have read this. Now I'm in a sad mood again.
Oh, now you're upset. Don't worry about it.
You know what? I'm not upset.
Take these words from Candace Parker. You don't have to tell your story. Time will. I say all that because, right? It's a whole bar. Like there, you know how sometimes people will say things? And we hear all kinds of motivational quotes and expressions all the time, especially in the social media world. People are saying all kinds of interesting things. I follow all these philosophers and people who always, you know, Jay Shetty always has something that's like, man, that was good. And then I forget it. But there's a few things that always just like stick to my ribs when I hear them. And that, I guess I needed to hear it that day. Candace Parker said that after the Chicago Sky won their championship, her second championship after leaving LA. And that's because the ending at LA was really unceremonious and she felt very disrespected in many ways. She had been left off of the national team after being a two-time Olympic gold medalist. And it just was a lot of like almost turning on Candace Parker, who had been generational, transcendent, the most transcendent player we had seen at that time. Mm-hmm. And it just felt like people were sort of coming for her a little bit. And I just remember the emotion, her going home to Chicago. She wins one for the hometown team. And then her saying that, and I told her that when I was lucky enough last year to have a keynote conversation with her at our ESPN Women's Summit out in California, just the idea that so many of us needed to hear that and need to know that, that you can argue with how people perceive you or your reputation or what people say about you or what the public says about you, but ultimately, like, time will reveal all. And I thought that was really poignant as she announces yesterday, of course, that she is stepping away. She's going to leave the WNBA and she's going to retire. A really incredible Instagram. She's like a really good writer too. You know, Candace is kind of annoying because she's so good at everything. It's like, oh God, dude. You know what? You know how hard it is to be good enough to be like, a Hall of Famer basketball player. And now she's like a really great broadcaster too. And the girl can write and she does productions, Baby Hair Productions, which is amazing. She's just so smart and beautiful and amazing, but a really great Instagram message. You should check it out. But basically in short, it was like, I promised that I'd never cheat the game and that I'd leave it in a better place than I came to it. And the competitor in her wants one more, but she knows that it's time. She was injured for most of the Las Vegas Aces run last year, although she was certainly key in her leadership in them winning another championship. So she goes down with just the stupidest resume like of all time. Listen to this resume, because here's the thing. She has been good for 20 years. She was the National Gatorade Player of the Year as a high schooler in 2004, right? A two-time NCAA champ at Tennessee, a two-time tournament most outstanding player, two-time female athlete of the year, WNBA Rookie of the Year. That same year won WNBA MVP, first and only person ever to win both in the same year, a three-time WNBA champion, the only one to win a championship with three different teams, a finals MVP, and as I mentioned, a two-time Olympic gold medalist. Like, she, there's not a single thing that she needed to prove or that she had left to prove, but she's undergone like 10 surgeries. I mean, the girl has done everything that she can to stay on the court, and her body just, it can't do it anymore. And she said she needed time to accept it and that she's accepted it. And she's, you know, she's ready to move on. But what a legacy career and an amazing person who is inspired. Like, Gary, when you see all of these sort of generational talents now, I always go back to like Aaliyah Boston after South Carolina won their national championship and she wins MOP and Holly puts that mic in her face. And the first thing she does is like, point out Candace Parker. And she's like, you're my inspiration. Like, I grew up watching you. I want to be just like you. And Asia Wilson has said the same thing. She has inspired this next generation of top tier talent and just an incredible player. So salute to you, Candace Parker, for the career that you had. And if you had any concern about leaving the game better than you found it, then girl, concern yourself no more. Like, you did it. You did it.
Yeah, it's an awesome spot. You're reading off the resume and I take a quick peek and she's only 38 years old. So it's a crazy reminder that when we see these people who have been in the public eye for two decades, better parts of two decades, we remember like, oh wow, okay. We started watching them when they were a teenager and now they are entering just middle life, right? Yeah. So at what point do you think that these sort of athletes who you know are, you know, cornerstone athletes in their sports understand that there's life outside of sport? Because at 38 years old, she's going to continue doing broadcasting. She's going to stay in the game. But like, that's still so young to do whatever else you want to do.
Yeah, I think that that's what a lot of them say, actually, is that it's very difficult, especially because you think about she's fallen onto our purview since she was 18, but she turned over to basketball completely at 13 years old. So since she was 13 years old, focusing on being the best at basketball, that's always been her focus. And like broadcasting, she's been doing that for 6 years now, but it was always a side hustle. It's like Chiney, you know, you're kind of doing both. You're playing in the league and you're doing broadcasting sort of on the side. It's always been about being the absolute best basketball player that you could be. And that was her whole life has been dedicated to that since she was 13 years old. And it's interesting because, you know, a lot of people associate me with that day that I met Kobe Bryant with Girl Dad. And I understand that fully, but I had a really long conversation with Kobe Bryant that day. Actually, we talked about a lot of things. And one of the things we talked about was where he was putting all of his discipline and motivation and ambition, because for so long I had just been solely focused on basketball. And he was like, that's the thing, is that I wasn't ready to leave basketball until I had another place to focus all of that. And he goes, and I realized like some of that needed to be focused on my family so that I could be a dad and be around. And that was great for the first time in my career. He was like, but he found it in the production side of it. He found it in the creating, you know, these specials, creating detail. Dear basketball. Like that's what he wanted to do, was really move into the creative space. And that was giving him an outlet for all of that, you know, because once you're trained to be one of the best athletes of all time, like that work ethic doesn't just disappear. You don't all of a sudden go, now I'm in my couch potato era. Like that, you've got to focus that on something, right? And so I think that for Candace, it's broadcasting, you know, in the entrepreneurial space, it's in her production company. Like, she's now realized she's got this growing family. She's got a son and a daughter right now, and a third on the way, going to be here any day. So I think that, like, her wife is incredible and beautiful and amazing. And I think she's just like, it's like, for so long, basketball filled so much of her heart. And from what I understand, just by, you know, hearing her talk, it sounds like she's, you know, gotten to a place where it's like, I understand that life is more and beyond, and I've got so much more that I can focus on, look into. But it's got to be really cool to, like, look up and go, I'm not even 40 years old, and I've already set myself up for the next 20, 30 years of my life, and I've accomplished something incredible, and there's still so much left for me to do. So I'm so happy for her. And she certainly is not going to leave the game of basketball behind.
No, hell no.
Yeah. But now she's going to be able to still stay in the sport that she loves, and also get to really hone in on her family too, which is something that she mentioned in that Instagram post, that she gets to be a mom more and be around more, which is the most important thing to her. And certainly is. She's always got those kids in tow. So congratulations to Candace Parker, man.
Congratulations.
One. CP. She's just the best. What'd you say?
Did you say she's, will she be at the Women's Summit in Brooklyn? You said,
no, or this no. was, this was, the, this was last year in Ohio. I did a keynote with her. Got to talk to her for like 45 minutes on stage, and she's great, man. It was one of the best, like, interviews I've done, just because she's just so introspective and so transparent. She's really authentic. She talks really openly about things, like an open book, and she's just the best, just like stunning too. And just like, she like looks into your soul when she talks to you. I'm like girl crushing on Candace Parker, but she's just a great person.
How the tables have turned. Usually this is my role.
That's true. Usually it's just Gary guy crushing. And right now, because
let me tell you about
Candace.
Roma Dunze in the NFL draft.
That was a handsome man.
Hey, but for real.
He's very attractive.
Come on.
Is that, you want to do an attractive meter? Okay, Gary, who are the hottest? And by hottest, I mean literally hottest draft picks.
Roma Dunze, top of the list for sure. As we put a bow on CP retiring, congratulations. 38 and retire. 38 and an entire working life, you know, sort of neatly wrapped up and put behind you. That's awesome. Congratulations. That's going to feel awesome one day. Let me see. Roma Dunze, definitely. Yeah, what about, is Caleb Williams, is he just unique looking?
I think Caleb Williams is an attractive looking man.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, he's got nice curls, you know? Yes. He gets manis, which is good. I like a man that takes care of his hands.
I think Drake May has potential. He's got that real, like, sort of overbrow, is not Neanderthal. I can't say that. Can I say that? Very structured. I'm not allowed. Why?
Very Neanderthal. Nobody has ever used that to set up like a positive attribute physically. You know, he's got this very Neanderthal look to him. What? Like he's like three over from the left on the evolution chart. So he looks like the Geico caveman. You think that guy's hot? No, that's not. I don't know. I definitely wouldn't start there.
Damn it. Now Sarah and Jackson are back in the comments.
It's like a horrible.
Don't think that.
He's got a bit of a Neanderthal look. Like, what?
Wrap the pod.
He has
Wrap
a very pronounced face.
That's what I meant to say.
No, you said Neanderthal.
Okay, hold on. Hey.
Yeah, this is not correct. Our producer just said you are trying to sell hot chocolate in July right now. No one's buying this, so please stop. And with that, we're gonna end the podcast with Gary calling Drake May a Neanderthal and thinking that that is a compliment. So if you would like to flood the comment section with how you think Gary looks, and use...
No, don't. Shut the comments off, and I'll see you in Miami. I'll see you in Miami.
That's right. We are going to be doing the show from Miami, guys. F1 is loading. Gary will be down there on Thursday. I will join him on Friday. We will bring you so much content all weekend long. We're just going to ambush a bunch of influencers. Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to do.